Welcome to the web's Fear Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is end-to-end security for WebSphere Compass and Business Space. Today's presenter is Sergio Arispis. Sergio joined application and integration middleware technical support in March 2004. In this capacity, he is responsible for supporting BPM tools, including WebSphere Business Modeler, Monitor, Publishing Server, Compass, and Business Space. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Sergio.
Thank you, Joseph. So I guess we'll just go straight to the presentation and go to slide number 2. Basically, this is the agenda we're going to talk about today. We're going to go into a brief introduction of what is Business Space, do the reference architecture, show you what processing engines Business Space runs on, and a few of the products that support the development of Business Space in the business capacity, because there's two real spaces. There's Business Space and there's like a technical Business Space. We're mostly going to be dealing with the business process management tools here. Then we'll go into the WebSphere application security, including LDAP, LTPA, and SSL. We'll take it a level further into Business Space security, doing user roles, talking about creating and changing super users and administrator super user groups. Then we'll finally speak about the WebSphere Compass security, doing adding and removing some team members, document access, and viewing your projects. So if we will, we'll just move to slide number 3. So what is Business Space? It's basically a general user interface. It's aggregating content and delivering it via a web browser. Everything in Business Space is in the form of a widget. Basically, it just provides you with insight into your business. It's all kinds of it's a collection of the related content using those widgets. You can have many Business Spaces in that runtime, and each space has a limited number of tab pages for that Business Space. So in essence, it's just to provide pages relevant to that particular role or business function. So these Business Space widgets access REST APIs, and these are primarily used by our products, the BPM products. Like I mentioned previously, though, there's another space called IT Space. But in this presentation, we're just going to be concentrating on BPM products. So if we move to slide number 4, these are the processing engines of Business Space. As you can see in the diagram, basically everything is running on WebSphere application server. This is like, you know, our daddy, the daddy for all of Business Space, no matter what you're running. You can run, you know, WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus, Process Server, or Business Service Fabrics without really, or and that has a encompassed WebSphere application server. For other products such as Compass or, let's say, Monitor, WSRR, or ECM widgets even, what happens is you'll end up creating a profile on the WebSphere application server. So what this means for us is really when we're thinking about Business Space security, we're really going to be concentrating on WebSphere application security to handle our Business Space security, and we'll go more in depth into that further on in this discussion. So moving to slide number 5. So where does Business Space sit in our whole architecture? Right? Business Space basically provides the user interfaces, the interaction services where your business analysts go in to, you know, the widget and do some type of work. Like, for instance, in Compass, they'll go in and, let's say, review a process model, make some comments, send it off to their next colleague for some feedback or other types of development, right? So you can think of a business space as being that type of interaction. Most of the pluggable user interface components that make a business space are delivered from the BPM stack. And also I wanted to mention you can build your own interface and your own widgets to access your own custom applications by calling, you know, the REST APIs. So moving to slide number 6. These are the IBM products for business process management that support the development of a business space. At the bottom layer, we can use WebSphere Integration Developer, WebSphere Business Modeler to model or develop your process models. In WID, it's mostly going to be, Beepo, and Modeler, they're going to be .mar or MAR capable, Modeler adjustable process models. Of course, you can import a lot of these into different components. For instance, Modeler, you can import the process models into Business Compass. You can also export the models into WID, which will, create some Beeple, which can be imported into Monitor for that runtime. And WebSphere Process Server obviously is the engine that runs the Beeple, which works together with Business Monitor. So all of these are pretty much interrelated. And, the top layer is business space, so all of these are going to be, at the end of the day, using business space. So we'll just go to slide number 7. And now we're going to talk about the WebSphere application security, starting with LDAP. And if we could just go to slide number 8. So I guess we're starting to talk about the federated repositories. And basically, we wanted to start talking about federated repositories because this is definitely the recommended way to do your integration with LDAP in WebSphere Application Server version 7. Okay, so we can do a lot of different types of integration with LDAP, but federated repositories provide you with additional capabilities in your widgets and framework, like enhanced search capabilities. When searching for users to share spaces and pages, that search scope is going to include email, a user's full name, and the user ID. So one thing to consider is business space doesn't properly leverage WAS security. So customized group membership is ignored. Business space authorization for spaces and pages can only see group membership from the configured WAS user registry. And there's a whole presentation on virtual member management that I found very useful. I put a link to it directly here. For additional insight onto how that works in WebSphere Application Server, since I knew this was one of the most important things. Well, let's move on to slide number 9 and talk about the other examples of a federated repository. This is a typical, example of what you would put in. I was using a Tivoli LDAP, so my directory type at the top left here is Tivoli Directory Server. Instead of putting the host name, you can also use an IP address and a suitable port number. I put an example of what the bind distinguished name would look like here using the fully qualified bind name. I guess one thing to realize in this section is when you hit OK or apply during this console or during this page, it's actually going to try to connect to the repository at that point. So if you don't see any errors or warnings at this point, this means that you are connected to your LDAP server. Okay. Another thing to, I guess, think about here, and this is on the bottom right hand, is another screenshot I put down. And this goes through the path in global security, federated repositories. I click on the Tivoli LDAP repository identifier I created in the example, click on the group attribute definitions, the member attributes, and click on that specific member that was created for me, and then I can click on this radio button, which basically will give me access to all nested and dynamic members for this group. This is going to help, you know, business space search the groups that you're going to want to look for when, you know, you're dealing with, let's say, Compass Security. So I just wanted to put that there to make that clear. And moving to slide number 9. These are other optional security methods that aren't necessarily recommended with Business Space for various reasons. We can use a local operating system. This is a file-based. This is actually decent for development environments since it's very basic. You don't even have to configure the LDAP. And typically, when installing, let's say, WebSphere Business Compass or even WebSphere Business Monitor, typically during installation, you're asked to either confirm or deny, you know, that these profiles get created with security enabled. And I think it's very typical to do this with security enabled, and you would already have at least one user in your file-based repository. And it's pretty easy to add people to the file-based repository. But this, again, would only be recommended in a sandbox environment. The standalone LDAP, we've had a lot of problems actually getting this to work consistently throughout the Business Space products. It's supposed to be supported, and I've seen instances where it works, but there's a lot of questions to be answered depending on, you know, what version of or what LDAP tool you're using and what kind of configuration we want to set up. There's also custom registries. I don't think this one would be recommended very well. So, again, in every case, it's the best practice to configure the production environment. Configure your security before installing Business Space, and in a production environment, do a federated repository. So we'll move to slide number 11, please. So now we're going to talk about the LTPA and SSL security. If Business Space is hosted on a different cell from where the rest of your products that use Business Space are, you're going to need to configure single sign-on. And this is, I guess, pretty typical considering a production environment when we're using clusters and so forth and so on. This is a little bit different from what we have in our information center. Since we are considering this to be a production environment, we wanted to make sure that a few key points here were set. I think a lot of this is the same as the information center, such as the export LTPA keys from one cell. You go to the secure administration, authentication mechanisms, specify a password for that temporary file, and select export. You import the keys into other cells by doing the same thing. Go to secure administration, authentication mechanisms, specify the password and the file from the earlier, select import keys. This is what is a little bit different in this presentation. We'll disable automatic LTPA key generation in all cells. So by default, WAS 6.1 generates new keys every few weeks, and WAS 7 is off by default. If you don't disable this, basically the cells won't maintain compatible keys, and this is when it doesn't have compatible keys in the production environment, you're going to assure yourself of that production outage, and we're trying to avoid that. So to avoid that, we want to go to security, to your secure socket layer. We're going to key set groups, and we're going to look for the cell LTPA key set group and uncheck that automatically. I'll show you a screenshot in the next slide. But this is very important for WAS7.x. So from time to time, again, you should update the keys and regenerate them in one cell and then repeat the above steps to show them across the cells. But once you, disable the automatic LTPA key generation in all the cells, that should be set for you in WebSphere Application Server. So let's move to slide number 12. This is where you would do this. you know, this is where you're importing the keys, it looks like. This is a secure socket layer on the right. After you import, you have a new key version there, and the old keys are still there to prevent an outage. Because I believe in WAS 7.0 or 7.x, these keys are now stored for 15 years. So it's like, you know, it's there to prevent an outage, but the security is refreshed. It's like refreshing your security every 90 days or so, right? But you still have the old keys just in case there's something going on. So we'll move on to the next slide, please, which is, I think, slide 13. Okay, this is how you disable the LTPA auto generation. In the SSL certificate and key management, on the top of the screenshot, you can see the path. You go to the key set groups and the C-cell LTPA key set group. And in that checkbox for key generation, you want to, you know, disable this. The cells won't maintain compatible keys, or the cells won't maintain compatible keys. So I think this is automatically checked by default, so you want to deselect this. Right, and let's move to slide number 14 here. Okay, now we're going to go into SSL security. Because we're typically using HTTPS in the endpoints, and that secure socket layer certificate is self-signed, you have to import the SSL certificate. We want to do this because if any part of our cluster or any part of our cell is compromised, then all of our cluster and all of our cells are going to be compromised the same way. The following information was gathered from this ISSW WebShare Security presentation series, which I found to be very, very useful. I included a link here, and it's also going to be in the reference at the end of the presentation. So in order for the service to communicate over a secure socket layer, the initiating server must be able to verify the certificate of the target server. This requires that the target server's signing certificate be in the server's trust store. So let's move to slide number 15, and we can just look at this a little bit deeper here. By default, all endpoints in WebShare application server cell trust the signers in the cell default trust store, right? So, if one piece of it is compromised, everything's going to be compromised because we trust all the signers in that default trust store. So we need to import the signers from the target server cell into the initiating server cell default trust store. Okay, so we need to export all of the signers from the target cell, from the cell default trust store, and import them into the initiating cell. This is a little bit different from our information center. Again, since we're talking about production environments, I wanted to make sure that this was, you know, the most accurate thing we could possibly get. You can do this manually, or you can use a retrieve sign, import all of the target to import all of it. We want to be aware that you may be importing some signers that you don't need, so we need to consider this more carefully if this is a concern. Okay, so there's a warning here. If the target cell adds new nodes, communication to the new nodes are going to fail. When the target cell replaces existing self-signed certificates, communications will fail. Okay, you need to plan to import new signers when needed. So in version 7, one common cell level signer is good for 15 years, and it is not replaced when the certificate is updated. That's annually by default. So we only need to share the one signer, and you are done. Right? So we'll move to slide number 16 here. I wanted to give an example of how to do this by hand, or you can do this by hand by simply exporting and importing the certificates, or we wanted to give an example of how you can do this using or hacking the retrieve signers function. Retrieve signers is intended to update the client trust doors, and this is how we're going to hack into it to meet our needs. To do this on the D-Manager, we wanted to edit the ssl.client.props and look for this stanza right here, the one in bold. The com.ibm.ssl.trustdoor equals $root/etc/trust.p12. And we wanted to change that to point to the cell trust door in the configuration repository. Typically, it looks something like, you know, the same, but towards the end, it's the cell name, right? So really, you just, instead of the etc, you're changing that to the cell or config/cells/cell name, right? And then you'll run the retrieve signers, which is in the bin directory. So you run retrieve signers dot batter dot sh depending on your, you know, operating system. You define the client default trust store and the host. You give it the port, and this is going to query the remote cell and ask for all of the signers in that trust store and import them into the client default trust store, right? So that client default trust store now points to the local cell trust store in the configuration repository, thanks to our edits. So now we want to go back and remove our edits from that properties file and force a full synchronization of all the nodes to get that working. We'll move to slide number 17. Okay, so we're going to move on to business space security and talk about the user roles. Creating or changing super users, creating and changing administrator, also known as super user groups. And moving to slide number 18. Okay, so business space security obviously lives on top of WebSphere application security from what we've described. And everything that we've done so far in WebSphere application security is going to be used by business space. However, there are some special things in business space that aren't necessarily available or configurable from WebSphere application server. So we have these user roles in business space. One's a super user. This user has the administrative privileges that allow them to see all the spaces and all the pages. This is not necessarily configurable from WebSphere application server. You have to use a script to, you know, create one or edit one or do more things to this super user. An owner is an owner of a space is initially the person who created it. The owner can create pages in that space and assign viewer or editor privileges to these pages. They can delete or transfer ownership and share or export the space. Okay, so since we already set up the LDAP security system in our business space and gave, let's say, users rights to see business space, anyone in that repository can create a business space and be an owner of a space, right? Okay. An editor can add and share spaces and share pages in a space. This is configured in business space specific or business space specifically, and I think we get into more details further. He can add widgets to the pages and customize these widgets. A user is assigned the editor privileges by the owner of the space or the administrator. Finally, we have a viewer, which doesn't have very much access, but can access the pages of a space and resize the widgets. The viewer can't add pages or share them. So moving to slide number 19. Okay. So talking about creating super users, before running the following commands, we need to note the following items. First, we have to log into business space with the user that we want to be a super user at least one time. Otherwise, it's not going to work. So log into business space, you know, make sure you can do some basic things like maybe create a space or, you know, delete the space that you created, do some basic things with that user, and then we can, you know, try to create that user or make that user a super user. We want to make sure that the default administrator's group name is not changed at this point. and we want to use the default repository for the user registry at this point. Okay, so to create the super user, we have to have the server or the deployment manager that runs business space, that runs the environment for that profile started. Okay, so once it's started, we can open a command prompt and change to that profile root directory /bin, and that one's the one that's hosting business space. Then we'll use this command here below. And you can use it all in line. You don't have to go into the WSAdmin runtime environment to run this command. I highly recommend that you put this command, let's say, in a text file and edit it there before running it, because I've seen, I guess, different scenarios where the shell is going to, let's say, put in a hidden character if you do a backspace or something like this. So it's advised to put this in a text pad or Word pad or what have you, do all your editing there, copy and paste that into your shell, and run it. Okay, so here the user ID is going to be a unique identifier that you use in your repository. The password is going to be the password for that user. And if that user exists in the virtual memory management, the user is going to be added to the administrators group. Again, this is assuming you're doing a federated repository, because obviously if it's a standalone or custom, you're not going to have the VMM. So we're going to run into problems if you're not doing a federated repository when creating super users. And we have to figure that one out when we come to it, right? So moving to slide number 20, this is the steps on changing the administrator group. Basically, if you want to change that group, we have to perform the following steps. This is in consideration of a standalone server. It's fairly similar to the deployment manager, and I can go over the steps there as well. I'll let you know the differences. Basically, we want to modify a metric here. It's in com.ibm.mashups.admin-group-name. In that configuration file, the config services.property, we're looking for that specific metric. Okay, and that admin group name by default is probably going to be administrators with a lowercase a. And this super group, administrator group, is case sensitive. So we basically want to change that metric to, let's say, capital administrators. For instance, you know, we'll run the command update property config, and this time we will, you know, run the WSAdmin environment to start that up. So let's say we'll go into a command prompt, go into that, profile root business space directory, do the WSAdmin to get the WSAdmin environment up, and then run this command after it's been edited, let's say, again, in a text pad or Word pad or what have you. After this has been run, we want to run the admin config save and then restart the server. Go to slide number 21, please. Okay, this is how we're going to validate the super user groups. In the screenshot below, as you can see, by default, the super user groups was created for me as administrators with a lowercase a. Again, this is case sensitive. So we want to check if our updates, let's say, were created correctly. To check that our updates after running the command were created successfully, we want to, first of all, check the config services.properties for a sanity check to make sure that one metric was changed or does say what we think it's going to say. We can also check in our WebSphere application server console by navigating to the resource environment providers. We're going to select all the scopes. We're going to look for the entry mashups_config-service. We're going to click on that link for the mashup_config-service. Then on the next page, we're going to click additional properties or look for the additional properties and select custom properties. And we're going to look for these two entries in the screenshot below. And I believe it's on the third page, the com.ibm.matchups.admin group name and the display space admin features group should both tell us what WebG application server thinks our administrator super user group is. So we'll move to slide number 22. Okay, moving through the agenda, we're going to talk about WebSphere Business Compass security, which is, I guess, the last layer of security in this presentation. We're going to talk about adding and removing team members, document access, and viewing projects. But I guess before we get into that, I guess I wanted to mention that, you know, what we've talked about so far with WebSphere application security and WebSphere business space security applies to all of the products that encompass business space, right? Everything in WebSphere Compass security is specific to Compass, but everything else we've talked about, you know, can deal with Monitor, can deal with WSRR, FileNet, ECM widgets, Compass, of course, like we're talking about, and you know, a lot of the technical spaces that also leverage business space, and so, you know, the mashups providers that also leverage business space. So let's move on to slide number 23 then, and we'll talk about what's specific to Compass security. So specifically to Compass security, we wanted to talk about document access. Every document in that repository has at least one owner. By default, the document creator is a document owner. I think we talked about this a little bit. So they can add and remove other owners to the document. Document owners are also responsible for approving or rejecting requests for edit access from other business design spaces and can revoke edit access after it's been granted. So to update the list of owners for a document, you probably want to be either the document owner or a super user. You're going to select the document for which one to add or remove owners. The current list of owners are listed in the document owners list. So this is also considering that we already have, you know, our LDAP groups defined and can be resolved for business space. Otherwise, we're not going to see anything. So if we're the owner, we can click Add Owner, or if we're a super user, we can click Add Owner and select the users that want to add as owners of the document. To remove the owners from the list, we'll just select, you know, Remove Owner. Go to slide 24, please. Okay, edit access for a document is granted at the space level, which means that all users in a space share the same level of access to a document. You can revoke edit access to a document by selecting the document in that document access control widget and then selecting a business design space from the list. We want to click revoke space access to revoke that access, and that business design space is going to be removed from the list. You can also unlock a document from another user that another user has opened for editing by selecting the locked document from the list and clicking unlock. That's if you own that document or if you're a super user again. Slide number 25. Okay, so adding and removing team members, use a team area to define the set of people who can view, edit, and create documents within your business design space. These permissions are defined at the space level again, which means that any documents that are editable within a given space can be edited by any member that belongs to that space. So you don't necessarily have to be the owner or a super user for this one. To add a new team member to the space, click Add Member, then that window opens. Search for the members or groups that you want to add by typing all or part of the username. You can use a wildcard, for instance, a star. And there's some examples here towards the end. We'll move to slide number 26. Okay, so for adding and removing team members, I think this is just a continuation from the list of search results that we saw. We can select the users and groups we want to add and just click OK. And to remove the member or group from the space, we select the member or group from the list in the team area and click the delete button. So there's a little note here what to say, you cannot delete individuals who appear as members of a group within your team. If you want to remove some members that belong to a group while keeping all other members, you must delete the entire group and then add the requires individually to the team. That looks like it might be a feature request in the future coming out for to handle this one. We'll move to slide number 27. So for publishing and viewing projects, you first must give your colleague, let's say who modeled, or any colleague that wants access to that business process, permission to export it to your publishing environment. So we want to go to the review access control page in Compass. In the users and groups section, we want to expand the list of users and select a name. For that, in the project section, we'll expand the publishers and select publisher access and click submit. At that point, you know, the what's your business modeler person is probably going to go into their client tool, the modeling tool, and, you know, put in the appropriate username and port number, the URL for the publishing server, and click on, you know, browse spaces, and they should have that space listed as a publishing space for them. So we'll move to slide number 28. It's now to you to give the necessary access to employees who's going to be participating in the actual review of the business process. So these aren't necessarily modeling people. These are just people that are interested in viewing, making comments for that process. So during the installation and configuration of Compass, all of the necessary employees have been included in the LDAP repository that this business space will use. We're going to assume this already, since we already talked about WebSphere and business space security. So to grant review access, we want to do this for each of the employees or groups. You know, in the users and groups section of the review access control panel, we want to, you know, expand the list of users or groups and select the, you know, that either the individual name or the group of people. In the projects view, we want to expand draft projects until we see the name of the business process to be reviewed. And we'll just click on, you know, one of the icons indicating the following, that they can have permission to delete, view, or comment on this project. We can click on any of these icons to cycle through the various options and click submit to set that those access rights accordingly. Slide number 29, please. So just a quick summary then, and this is just the points that I wanted you to take out of this presentation. Business Space and Compass use WebSphere Application Security. So everything's really done with WebSphere Application Security first, then Business Space second, then Compass, you know, finally is going to come at the end. It's a best practice to use federated LDAP for WebSphere Application Security. Otherwise, we'll probably run into some issues considering what type of LDAP you're using for, let's say, standalone or custom registries. We want to disable LTPA key generation in all cells, or we can risk having incompatible keys, which will ensure that we have a, you know, meltdown in our systems, or, you know, a complete stop for our production environment. If business space is hosted on a different cell from the rest of your products, we need to configure single sign-on, and we must import the SL certificate in this case. And I think I showed a pretty good example of how to do that using the hack. Okay, and before adding a super user, we need to log into business space with that user that will be a super user at least one time, or else it's not going to work. And we'll move to slide number 30 here. This is the reference that I'm using. A lot of the references from the same type of series. So the first highlight is for virtual memory management or federated repositories. If you're coming from an older version, let's say, or you already have a standalone or custom LDAP registry, and you want to try to, move to a VMM, you want to we want you to read this paper to see if you can do it. It's a really good white paper, and it shows you what you can do or if you can move to VMM, according to this white paper. The whole ISSW WebSphere Security Presentation Series is located in the final bullet here. I think the first link is to the single sign-on and cross-cell security specific, but there's a lot of resources in this site. I think for almost, I wouldn't say for anything, but I think they had over 30 topics specific to WebSphere application security, specific to BPM products, a lot of in-depth, deep dive presentations on security that I thought were really good. And you know, maybe if you're interested in security, you should take a look and, you know, see one of the presentations, pick it up. Read through it really quickly and see what you like, what they do. If you like it, you might be interested in another one and, you know, increase your skills in that type of security. So I guess we'll just move to slide 31 here. And these are additional WebSphere product resources. I think you can learn about, you know, upcoming WSTEs, webcasts, and previously recording sessions at the link below. Discover the latest trends in WebSphere technology at that link and join the WebSphere global WebSphere community. Access key product show me's, demos, and tutorials. And I think actually at this point, Joseph may want to take it over.
Thanks so much, Sergio, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Laurie, we would like to open the line for questions.
Our first question is from Francois Shaker.
Hi. Before I ask the question, I think the links provided in the presentation, most of them are not working. I think it looks like they're IBM internal. The POK GSA, link starting from POK GSA looks like IBM internal maybe.
Let me verify those and see if I can get them on. If they're on internal only, I'll talk to the creators and see if we can get them access to the general worldwide web here.
And before I ask my question, I want to congratulate Sergio. I know you like, and you did a great job. It was a great presentation.
Thank you.
Yeah. One question is like, if we have only one LDAP in the organization, then is it still recommended to use a federated repository, or you can just use a standalone LDAP?
I think there's. For business space specifically, it is. Recommended to do a federated, and I think it's pretty easy from what I've heard and from what I've read. There's no real reason to use a standalone LDAP and, you know, the WebSphere 7.x, even if you only have, you know, just one repository, because you add a lot of benefits doing the federated repository as opposed to the standalone, you know, because you have the whole new virtual memory manager. So you get like the benefits of, you know, seeing the username, the email, so forth and so on, using the federated repository.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. And the other question is it mandatory to create the super user, or is it does it come automatically when you install? Does it come with a default user, or everybody has to first create the super user?
Right. It is created. Let's say, well, it's. There's two different scenarios. If you have security enabled and, you know, you install business space, then that super user group is going to be created, and added to that super user group is going to be the user that installed business space.
Okay. Okay. If you don't like that, then maybe you want to change it. Then you can
right. If you don't like that, then you maybe you want to change, you know, either the admin group or the super user person or both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you create business space without security enabled, mm-hmm. then there is, you know, a super user and a super user group created automatically for you. Again, it's the same super user group, but the super user person or the individual is like, it's just one individual, and it's not the person that installed the business compass. I think it's something like WB admin person or something like this, and I can send you the details on, I think it's in the info center as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's specifically, you know, one person that's created, and I'm sure it's in the information center, who exactly that is, but that's, you know, saying, you know, you don't have WebSphere application server security enabled yet, and you already want to install Business Space. Right, so that's not kind of a recommended way to go, but sometimes it happens.
Okay. Yeah, we generally start with no security, then eventually we add security. But when we create without security, still all those properties you mentioned, like a mashup config service, everything gets created, like with the administrators
right.
group and all things are already there.
Yes.
So
yes.
When I don't have security, the business space, how it is going to work? Like if I don't have security, but still I can access business space. Like in test environment, I don't want to have like users created. I just want to test things out.
Right.
Is it okay to like go without security and test it out then? Security.
Yeah, it should be okay in a sandbox environment. And you know that administrators group is going to be created for you anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say in WebSphere application server, you go into the users and groups. And you say manage groups. Towards the bottom, you should see the administrator groups in there. And if you click on that administrator groups, you can click on the tab that says members of, and you'll see exactly who is assigned to that group as well. Right? That's the easy way to do it. Instead of looking at the info center, you can do it that way.
Yeah, thanks, Ajay.
You're welcome.
At this time, there are no further questions from the phone lines.
Thank you, Laurie. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.